الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We stop at the repetition of the position of the Khawarij by Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abu al-Abbas al-Hashimi radiallahu anhuma. And as we said, from about the 12,000 from the Khawarij who were gathered in that camp, many of them, not less than 2,000 to 3,000, stood up and followed Abdullah ibn Abbas and came back to the camp of Ali ibn Abi Talib together with him. So this was how, as far as the arguments we are concerned, they were faced to this, and very clearly they were defeated. They decided to leave where they were at Hawara and march to a place called Nahrawan. On their way to Nahrawan, they met one of the children of the companion, Abdullah ibn Arab. You know, Kaab ibn Arab? Arab was one of those who accepted Islam in the early years of Islam, Kaab. So his son was living in a village between Hawara and Nahrawan. So on the way of the Khawarij to Nahrawan, they met Abdullah and asked him, "Who are you?" And he introduced himself that he is Abdullah ibn Kaab ibn Arab. And they asked him, "Narrate to us from what you have heard from your father." And he said to them that my father narrated to me that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a fitna shall come, that the one who is standing in this fitna, the one who sits in the fitna, is better than the one who is standing, and the one who is standing is better than the one who is running. So, and he was narrating that hadith. At the end of it, they saw that perhaps the hadith spoke evil about them. So they took him and they cut off his head. The one who cut off his head took it to the stream, such that the blood flowed, was flowing on the river. This was how these people were. Because what they considered someone in Kafir, like we said, they considered his blood halal, and so they slaughtered anyone as they liked. So they went to Nahrawan. When Ali ibn Abi Talib heard that they had killed Abdullah ibn Kaab, he now felt that it was necessary to now go to them and take it to them. You know, from the very beginning, Ali ibn Abi Talib was not fighting them. But when he heard that they now started to kill the Muslims, so he took it to them. And he arranged his soldiers and went on the way to Nahrawan. So the place where they met was called Nahrawan. So there was a battle there referred to as the Battle of Nahrawan between Ali ibn Abi Talib and the Khawarij. One of those who were in the camp of Ali ibn Abi Talib said, when they went close to where the people were camping, before that, let's just bring this. When the Khawarij were in Nahrawan, one of them, a fruit fell from the top of a tree. And one of them picked this fruit and ate. The rest of them said he had done what is haram, because he did not take permission from the owner of the tree. He spat what he had eaten. So they were so careful about doing that kind of a thing, but they were not careful about taking the lives of Muslims and declaring the companions of Allah's Messenger as kuffar. So they did that.
So one of those who were in the camp of Ali bin Abi Talib said that when they got close to Nahrawan, they were hearing whom? They were hearing noises. Like you have the noise, like the kind you have in the bee's nest. The whooming voice, which came from these people because of the recitation of Quran. It was their recitation of the Quran that we are hearing from long distance. So when Ali ibn Abi Talib announced them, asking them that let the one who killed Abdullah, let him come out. They all announced in a single voice, we all killed Abdullah. You know, this is the way of the people in demonstration. When the people are demonstrating and acting, they say, someone did an evil. The people, no, even those who didn't do, say, we did it together. Do your work. Because we were in rebellion. So the said one even had to tell, we all did it. We all killed Abdullah. And the battle, that was what commenced the battle. Because they refused to present the one who killed Abdullah in the camp in Arabi. And from there, they started to be killed. But before that, all the scholars said that, despite the fact that Ali ibn Abi Talib had asked them what happened, that he still asked them what they had against him, which made them to dissent and rebel. But they did not mention anything different from what they mentioned to Abdullah ibn Abbas. And that even when they mentioned those things, he still explained to them those three issues that he had raised at the beginning. But they refused, and they said that they were ready to fight and kill Ali ibn Abi Talib. They said they were ready to kill Ali ibn Abi Talib for the sake of Allah. They said they were ready to fight and kill Ali ibn Abi Talib for the sake of Allah, or die and then go to Al-Jannah. So in their thinking, they are doing it for the sake of Allah. And that's why in Ulama, many of them mentioned that it is difficult to find anyone in any innovation who is thinking that by his innovation he wants to destroy the deen. Most of those who find themselves in innovation, their intentions are sincere, but the actions are wrong. And the Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, "Kam min muridin lil khair lam yablughu." How many people intended to do good, but they never achieved the good they intended? Yes, they intended to do good, but they didn't achieve. And the mere fact that the intention was good does not vouchsafe the evil action. Imagine someone who says he wants to call a lady to Islam, and to be able to do that, he has to commit zina with her. How is that? Yes, good intention, but bad action. So when he said, "Innama al-amalu binniyat," amal is al-amalu maqbula, actions that are accepted, not actions that are haram. Because he has already told you that man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa ar-rad. So the amal is talking about here, they are the amal that are ordinarily acts of worship. Those ones are the ones he's now saying, if you want to perform two rakats of salat to study, make sure that your intention is solely for Allah alone. Not that someone wants to commit zina and he's saying that I am sincere. What sincerity are you having in wanting to commit that evil? So sincerity of intention, or that an intention behind an action is good, it does not make the action good. In Islam, an action is not accepted except the intention is good and that the action is good. You have the intention of doing da'wah to people, but you are not taking the right manner. So it does not say that the action is good. So the action must be good, the intention must be good. If the action is good and the intention is good, it's not good, it's also rejected. It's also rejected. So the two must be right. The intention must be right. The action also must be right. So when they are saying that they want to kill Ali ibn Abi Talib for the sake of Allah so that they can gain paradise, then one would be wondering what is happening. So yes, good intention, but bad action. And don't forget, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that يقرؤون القرآن. You hear them reciting the Quran, but it will not exceed their throat. It will imply that those adhkar that were being heard of them, yes, we are adhkar, but we are something that will not benefit them. Because we are just things that were said that did not penetrate their hearts. And so the main evidence is verses of the Quran where those verses do not point to. So it is very important that that is noted. The action must be good, the intention must also be good, and vice versa also. So Ali ibn Abi Talib fought them, and many of them were killed. It was said that less than 10 people were killed in the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib. While many of them were killed. And it was even said that after Ali's discussion with them at Nahrawan, before the battle, some of them crossed sides again, further reducing their number to the side of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So this was the way of the Khawarij. They were fought in that battle, and it was in that battle that Ali ibn Abi Talib killed Zu Khuwaisira. And because he had heard from the Prophet that he had two breasts, he was looking for him to confirm the breast. And when he saw it, he said, yes, Allah and his messenger say the truth. So Zu Khuwaisira was killed in that battle. And many of them also were killed. But it was said that there were about 8 of them who ran away. So they ran to other parts of the Muslim world. One of them to Iran, one of them to the Yemeni area, and one of them to other parts of the Muslim world. And they were the ones who continued, quote unquote, the idea of Khawarijiyya. So those who escaped from the battlefield amongst them were those who later perpetrated the idea. So this was how this issue of Khawarij, this was how it started. Those 8 people who escaped in the battle were the ones who came back and started to spread the idea of Khawarijiyya amongst people. Don't forget that we had mentioned that many of the people at the time were usually ignorant people. Whenever anyone came, talked to them, sweet tongued, they followed him. Whenever anyone came, talked to them, made evidences, they also followed. So those people spread the idea. The ulama say that يسمى خارجيا كل من خرج على الإمام الحق. Everyone who rebels against the true leader of the Muslims الذي اتفقت عليه الجماعة. When the jama'ah, the group of Muslims agree upon the leadership of anyone, that person becomes the Amir of the Muslims. Those people who rebel against such persons are referred to as the Khawarij. So when you see people rebelling against the leader, that is what they are referred to. And they said that they are divided into 20 sects. The Khawarij themselves, they are divided into 20 groups. And they mention their name, the Mahkamatul Al-Ula, Al-Azariqa, Al-Najdiya, and the rest of them, many of them. You can read the book, Al-Farq Bayn Al-Firaq, by Imam Ibn Abdul Hadi Al-Baghdadi. And many other scholars who have written. If you read Al-Milal Wal-Nihal also, by Ahmad Al-Shaharistani, he mentioned each of their sects and each of their beliefs. Now, for all of the people referred to as Khawarij, there are about 5 or 6 beliefs that are common with all the groups of the Khawarij. All the groups of the Khawarij, they are known for 5 things. The rest of their beliefs, they differ from one group or from one sect amongst them, from one function amongst them to the other, amongst the 20 of them. The 5 things they are agreed upon, the first is Ikfar Ali wa Uthman ibn Affan. They declare that Ali ibn Abi Talib and Uthman ibn Affan are kuffar. They are the Ta'if, these people, this sect, the Khawarij, all their sects are agreed on this. And we know the evil in this, to declare the companions kuffar. What that would imply, brothers, is that the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a'udhu billah, was not successful. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was raised for the whole of mankind and he is not to live forever, then it should necessarily imply that those that the Prophet will train as his companions, he left upon Islam. Because he said, إِنِّي سَرَبْتُكُمْ عَلَى مَحَجَّةٍ لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَائِهَا لَا يَزِيقُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكُ. And he is describing to us what he left the companions upon. When he said there will be firqa in the Ummah, They asked him, who are those who are going to be saved? He said, ma kana alayhi anna al-yawm wa ashabi, what I am upon today and my companions. And yet, as soon as he died, these companions became kuffar. It meant that actually then, the message was not going to reach the rest of the world. Because who is carrying the message? Who will carry the message to the rest of the world if they were what these people of innovation say? And like we said, regarding the Shia, that they also confirm that when Allah said that the companions, he is pleased with them and they are pleased with him, he says in al-Muhajirin wa al-Ansar, there is nobody who is called Muhajir and Ansar again except the companions. No one is called that. Not only that, since وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ ihsan, and those who follow their ways in goodness, he says Allah is pleased with them, they are also pleased with Allah. So it would also imply from their declaring these companions also as kuffar that they are belying that verse of the Quran. Allah said, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. Describing the companions, that they are a group of people that trade does not affect them from their ibadah. Whenever even it was going to confront and contradict themselves, they left their trade for ibadah. When they are to spend, they spend all their money. People like Suhaima Rumi, radiallahu anhu, had to leave all he had. He came to Medina, he didn't have anything. He came to Makkah, he didn't have anything. He traded, he got a lot of things. He was to make hijrah, they told him to choose. Choose between your property and going to meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He chose to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he did not leave Makkah with anything. And then he come back and said this same man was not sincere. So it is a difficult thing to choose. It will be belying Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said that the Malaika, they are shy of Uthman ibn Affan. You now say the person that the Malaika, they are shy of is a kafir. How? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Uthman ibn Affan will go to Al-Jannah. He said Uthman ibn Affan is shaheed, is a martyr. You say the one that the Prophet has said all these things regarding is a kafir. How is it acceptable? Not only that, the same thing applies to Ali ibn Abi Talib, the first human being to accept Islam. The first person who accepted was Ali, was a young person at the time who lived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he come back and say all these successes, success stories of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later became kuffar. It's a difficult thing to choose to understand and accept. So that is the first thing that the Khawarij are agreed upon. All the groups, the 20 sects of the Khawarij, are agreed on the fact that the two companions, especially Ali ibn Abi Talib and Uthman ibn Affan, were kuffar. And that's very dangerous regarding them. The second matter was that all those who came, subhanAllah, who came with Aisha radiallahu anha, because what they said that they also made takfir of Ashab al-Jabal. They made takfir of those who took part in the battle of the camel that we described, you remember? So it will imply also that they are also making takfir of the wives of the Prophet, one of whom was Aisha, who came there so that there could be peace, and Zubayr ibn Awwam, and Talha ibn Ubaydullah, all those that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had assured of al-Jannah. So how can they be kuffar and then still go to Al-Jannah? Na'udhu billah. So this is the second thing that the Khawarij, they are agreed upon. Also, they are also agreed upon that the two people who also agreed to abdicate between the group of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amr ibn al-As and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, that the two of them are also kuffar. That they are kafirs, non-believers. Because they accepted to adjudicate. And we have mentioned that Allah has given mankind many places to adjudicate in the Sharia. The first thing upon which they are agreed is that anyone who is pleased that Amr ibn al-As and the second companion Abu Musa al-Ash'ari should adjudicate, anyone who likes that they should adjudicate is also a kafir. The two of them who adjudicated, they are kufa, they are kafir. Anyone who likes that they should adjudicate is also kafir. is a non-Muslim. Allah. And the fifth thing that they are agreed upon, all the deviant sects, the deviant group of the Khawarij, is that al-Khuruj al-Sultan al-Jahir. Any person in authority of the Muslims who is not a pious person, who is an unpious person, unrighteous person, it is legal, it is right to rebel against him. But don't forget that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told us that we are going to see things who will be displeased about the leader. And they asked him, should we take the sword against them? He said, La, in as much as they establish salah. These ahadith, they're in Sahih Muslim, just see Kitabul Imara. In Sahih Muslim, you see these ahadith there, so many of it, with different reports and different chains of narrations from different companions, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited rebellion against a leader, even if it is not a righteous leader. You do not rebel, because it will waste the blood of the Muslims. Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, I think we mentioned this yesterday. Some people came to him and said they want to go and remove, they want to rebel against Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, mentioned it in Minhaj al-Sunnah. They want to rebel against Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. And he told them not to go. They went and Hajjaj killed all of them. When Imam Hassan al-Basri heard, he said, how many times do people want to face the punishment of Allah? They want to fight against the punishment of Allah. How is it possible? And how many times that when they attempt that, the punishment will overrun them? So when there is a leader that is not a righteous person, in as much as he is not a kafir, it is not legal to rebel against the person. And even when the leader is a kafir, rebelling against him is only permissible. It will be told to the people by their scholars that they should rebel when it is clear to those ulama after verification that if they rebel, they will be able to upturn the matter. Not that they say rebel and the people go on the streets, they are filled with tankers. The kind of 78 Iranian revolution would not happen if the people understood Islam. Because they wasted many lives at the time. How many lives were wasted at the time? So the scholars will evaluate the situation and say, okay, do this, okay, do that. Because they are the people who inherited, who are the inheritors of the prophets of Allah. So these matters are not to be decided upon except that their consent is sought. So they will evaluate the situation and give the fatwa appropriately. So these five matters, the Khawarij, they are agreed upon it. What they are not agreed upon, some of their sects disagree on, is the takfir of anyone who engages in a major sin. One of their groups are referred to as the Najdad. They say that anyone that Allah has described his sin and the punishment for his sin in the Quran, he will only have what he has been described with. But the one that his sin was mentioned, but the punishment for it was not mentioned in the Quran, they are those ones that are referred to as kuffar. Like, that is sin. His punishment is mentioned. Okay, his punishment is just what Allah has mentioned. If Allah has not mentioned kufr with it, then that is, he will be what Allah has mentioned him with, or her with. But if the person, if the sin was not mentioned with any particular punishment in the Quran, then that person is the person they will refer to as a kafir. They will not refer to, they do not refer to everyone who goes on a major sin, who persists on a major sin as a kafir. So these are the basic ideas of the Khawarij. But today, don't be surprised. Don't say Zuhq Waisra is dead. Zuhq Waisra is dead, but the idea is still existing. That's why you find people who make the fear of leaders, people who urge the people to rebel, and then when anything happens, people call the people and say, let's walk on the street, let's demonstrate. All these attitudes are attitudes of khuruj. They do not have any basis in the sunnah. To call women also. Sometimes you will see people dressed in hijab and all this, they go on the street, they carry placards. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Who said that? When the Khawarij too rebelled against Ali, they were shouting Alhamdulillah. They were shouting La ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. They were shouting at the sea too. So that doesn't make what they are doing right. So we should take all these precautions and understand these facts. I like to stop here. كل واقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Alhamdulillah. I thought I would take a question concerning this lecture that is a part of this program. Have many questions. Now, the question is it true that Oman, a country, is dominated by the Khawarij, just like Iran is today dominated by the Shia?
I don't see.
The lecturer said that he does not know whether that is the situation.
You can find out easily that. Because if you go to the net, you get information about the country and all this.
So
you can ask people who live
there.
I
that you should go on the net and find out about the those who live in the country and the different groups that they are. As long as there is a thing that talks about the Ummah of the Prophet being divided into 27, and only one who be one to be the said, my question now is joining any sect also a faith? Is not joining any sect also a faith? If not, how will one then be a part of the same sect?
Not joining any of the sect means not joining any of the Siratul Dawla. Not joining any of the sects that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned is dalal, and that is being in the understanding, in the belief, and the ibadah, and the muamala of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, because he mentioned the same sects. So the only sect that you can belong to, because he also mentioned that one as firqa. He said, "Kulluha fi nar illa wahid." They asked him, "Ma hiya ya Rasulullah?" He said, "Ma ana alayhi al-yawm, ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi. What I am upon today and my companions." So what you should struggle to be upon is the same sect referred to as Ta'ifatul Mansura or Firqatul Najia or Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Those who are upon what the Prophet and the companions were upon. So it becomes a responsibility now to always ask. So always ask regarding anything you like to do, regarding it, what was or what were the companions upon? Because, you know the most unfortunate thing, all these sects are also claiming that they are Ahlul Sunnah. But none of them will add Al-Jama'ah to it, or will add the way of the companions to it. And the Quran and the Sunnah have made us understand that the right Quran and the Sunnah is the Quran of the Sunnah of the companions. So the companions are the deciding factor. What do they understand regarding the matter, and how did they take the matter, how did they act on the matter, will decide what is correct, will decide who is actually the Ahlul Sunnah or Jama'ah. Do we understand? So even when those people say, "Yes, we are Ahlul Sunnah," Ahmadiyya will come say, "We are Ahlul Sunnah." Jabariya will say they are Ahlul Sunnah, the Qadariya will say they are Ahlul Sunnah, the Shia will say they are Ahlul Sunnah, all of them will say Ahlul Sunnah, Ahlul Sunnah, Ahlul Sunnah. What now differentiates the Ahlul Sunnah? And that was why in the past the scholars used the word, the Salaf, or the Salafi, that is making the affiliation to the way of the companions. So, but it does not just end with the claim of it. The real matter is the actions. And what? How we dispose ourselves? Do we understand? Allah Akbar.
One, we should know that there are some people when they hear Rafia, they say they are also calling to sect. And from what we have read and what we have learned in the belief of Urefa and other belief, that there should be a sect, and that is the Firqatul Najiyya, as the Prophet of Allah has said. But that doesn't mean that you feel from Nigeria, we have headquarters in Saudi Arabia, in Jordan, or in Syria. There is no headquarters. So you still come to Nigeria because they are said, you can belong to this spirit of Nigeria, this services, just by following what the Prophet of Allah and his companions were upon. So, and to be, when you call, when you belong to the spirit of Nigeria, you are meant to belong to the spirit of Nigeria, that means you are a fanatic, whether you like it or not. But don't fight people over there. Some of you may say, I'm not a fanatic, leave it. If you call yourself a Muslim, no problem. If you call yourself a Sunnah, no problem. Afari, no problem. Are you upon what the Prophet of Allah and his companions are upon? If yes, then you belong to the Prophet of Nigeria. So this is what we are trying to say. And the best way a Muslim can relate is for him to be of the Prophet of Nigeria. That is what allows him to relate with other Muslims. For instance, now somebody now telling you that you must be a member of Al-Iqwan Muslim before you can be a Muslim. Or you must belong to one particular Jamaat, either in Nigeria or anywhere. What is the persecution? Did the Prophet of Allah say you must be Al-Iqwan Muslim or you must join a Jamaat Islamia, you must be that? This didn't say that you just walk upon what the companions are upon while upon. Once you do that, inshallah, be among the people of Nigeria. But at the same time, when they say people of Nigeria, that doesn't mean that you should continue to engage in evil acts. Because for people who have turned the word of Nigeria into a text, that when you belong to that text, it means that you have been given permission to do anything. You can do any evil act as long as you have tied yourself to Nigeria. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ليس بأعمالكم ولا أعمالي ولا أعمالي على الكتاب من يعمل سوءا يجزى به. It's not your wishes and not the wishes of those who are given books before you. Whoever does any evil deed will be rewarded accordingly. So we should understand it. And God says, I was telling you, this is the statement of those who have been defeated. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us.
We should just ask, before 1924, how many societies and associations were in Islam? How many groups of factions of Muslims we had before 1924? Because actually the groupings started immediately after the fall of the Khilafah. So before that time, how was Islam progressing? I'm responding to those people who say Kulebe Ebe Kanal. This is a but before mind say this kind of a thing. A mind that is a confused one. Say that before 1924, how many Ebes were in that case then? How were they? How was the Ummah? How was Dawa made? From China, from Southern Russia to Southern France and Southern Spain, most part of Spain for many years, and then even to parts of America before 1924. How was the Dawa made? How many societies and associations were formed? I think that kind of a mind, I don't even think the mind will be able, but it should be able because it will help it to resolve those guard bears it is having and then come on the path of truth and recognize it. Allah.
Some people have a question of a senior. So in a household, they appoint somebody to be a member of the household. Then, or in the school, somebody is appointed to be a member of the school to organize the students. Is that right?
If you have someone who is more learned than the rest, who is teaching people, don't call him Ali Amir of the school. Amir of the Halqa. There is no Halqa Amir. It does not have any basis. No Halqa has Amir. Don't use that word. That word should only be used, like Sheikh Yahya al-Najmi said, that the word Amir should only be used in two cases. The first one is the Amir of the Muslims. The second one is the one on Safa. Because it's a word, a technical word in the Sharia that carries along meaning and responsibility. It's like saying the Imam of the Masjid. as the Imam of the Masjid, in those ahadith where we see the Imam of the Masjid being mentioned, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innama ju'ila al-imam liyuqtamma bihi. So it has responsibility as Imam in front of the Salah. So when you say Amir, that word in Islam, it has a lot of meanings. So use it for the Amir of all the Muslims, the Amir of the group of the Muslims, of Jama'at al-Muslimin, no problem. Use it for the Amir when you are traveling, four or five people, two people you are traveling, one of them is Amir al-Safa, no problem. But when you say there is alcohol, someone is teaching the rest of you, he's just adding, he's just more learned than the rest of you. So why do you want to call him Amir? What authority does he have other than to teach you halal and haram? Doesn't have any other authority on you. So it's not your Amir. If you do so, you will not have evidence. You will not have a predecessor in that thing you have started to call the leader of a halqa an Amir. So the same thing applies. If you call the person who leads you in Salat in the school Amir, what evidence would you have to use that term in that case where you are using it? You will not have any evidence. The best you can call it, which is linguistic, is Ra'is. Perhaps that may look, because it doesn't have any technical connotation in the Sharia, you just use that amongst yourself. But even that, it should not be any basis. If that Ra'is is the one who decides your administrative matters, what you do, what you say, what you write, where you do things and how you do them, just because you are in an area like that, in that administrative capacity, you do not have any authority over anyone other than administering these affairs of deputational affairs. Then that kind of a word can be used, Ra'is. But the word Amir is a technical word that should not be used except in places where there are evidences that they can be used in the Sharia. Allahu Akbar.
I want to call the attention of some of our brothers as far as the use of the Amir. You know that some people are speaking themselves as if they are the controller of some system.
They are. They are their controller.
You know what I mean?
Then
you are commanding them as if they are the father.
They do that.
I don't want to see you.
You can't marry except you permit them to marry.
You cannot marry except that person authorized you to do that. I found somebody I want to marry.
You tell them when that man knows. Tell them when they met
you.
You can come out of the
way. We know the person better than you. They are the ones who dictate who your husband should be. That is rubbish. We did not. I personally have belonged to the army group before.
How are you?
Who then they were chanting, Dama Wata was being used in order to promote a particular personality. But today, that particular personality has been rejected from the group. Who is being the founder of the so-called group? This thing is when you do not follow the Sharia, everything you do is of his bounded. And that's going to be the consequential effect. Please, brothers, if this has come to you to attack them, don't turn yourself to their father. You know, some of us, we even ask him, the man who takes them, he will wrestle against their parents. I give you an example. Yes, some of our friends, they may not have a lot of knowledge, but they have a position they occupy in the Sharia, which nobody can keep the place as their place. Your friend is saying, I don't want you to marry this brother. The so-called your rookie or whatever time is now treating the person. He says, don't worry. And that's on his court. Evidence to justify that you can marry without the permission of your father or your mother because God they are doing something in him. That saying you should not marry a Muslim. You have to reason with them. You have to listen to them. You have to talk to them. Because many are kind. So relationship is not that our parents have destroyed.
based on so-called, those who are not authorized to rule our lives and are ruling our lives, because you, that program is not again. Because the, I just said, you are why now, just listen, that's all. And if you do not, that is for man. Allah is heaven's star. Some sisters, they are going to marry people they do not like. Because they belong to them and they can only marry for their needs. Some of them now, those who have not found the right partners among their sisters, they are not getting used to it. Some of them, they delay them from getting married. All the believe that they are not going in the right future. And at times, they are just preparing the sister for themselves. And the sister, no, it is easy for sister to cross. They can instead cross. And when they cross, it is total. The how far they trust is how far they will trust the rest of the name. But that will not go without the cost. Not only the guys that have wasted their lives, because time is not, it's always the game there. Now the sisters, they are now saying, based on their new best rule, you have to finish, because the woman needs you. Yes. You have to create society, you have to do this, you have to do that, and for what basis? Is that how the definition of our life is? So please do not do whatever has got a lot of problems. And please, if you are being ignorant and you are likely to do, don't talk yourself to the ambassador. You can only act on advising level. I'm advising you. That's the way I see you. Some people who come to the ambassador, we need a sister, we need a brother. No problem. I'll just tell you, I cannot say who I'm laughing about this black person. Never. Who comes to me for that? If you see anybody and want me to say something I know, I always say, I only tell you what I know. If your father says no, I remember for what the situation of that, I don't want you to say, the father says you should not marry and nobody will marry for it. So who are talking to your father? If your father is not ready to listen to us because you know that everyone, we look for somebody as old as the father of whom older, that the father will listen to. So please, let's be very careful about the issue of discussing yourself with your father from the authority in the life of your sister. This has caused a lot of problems. Now that for me to also have shown for me. Now, in addition, what have you said so far? If you tell us that she doesn't have to belong to a particular general. Because once you belong to a particular general, the army of that general wants to keep himself as if he's the ruler of the country. And this is what operates amongst many generals that you know. Take for instance the issue of the speaker that Mustafa mentioned. Abdurrahman is out. The richest man among the Muslims, among the companions, during the time of the Prophet of Allah, both married, and the Prophet of Allah was the spiritual leader, who was the leader in Medina, did not know about that happening. Prophet of Allah told him the following day, he said, why is this sign of yellowness on your garment? He said that I got married, and Prophet of Allah said, how will you allow me to? You are not only if it's for you to slaughter a sheep. And the man in Abu Bakr, commenting on this hadith in his book at the Hadith, he said, somebody may do something that even the leader will not be aware of that. Look at that. But now if you belong to a particular demand, you cannot get married except with the permission of the Amir. And the only one to dictate to you who to marry. And if you refuse, you are exposed. You are excommunicated from that demand.
So the brother really has a mental problem because it's not the man that is no more interested in going out to bed because these people are not serious with knowledge, have been with you for the past 5 years, I've not been able to memorize into Amma, and I'm not a believer. So when God moved away from them, he was boycotted. As the leader of the country boycotted him. Don't remember the other German when they see him, they run this way. So this other guy saw himself as somebody, why are you? So the person that he has mental problem. I told you are not disturbing yourself. If God has not imposed all these things on you, there are brothers, there are good things that you can make it. But you can speak yourself in a particular German. So this is what we've been told, and we have been told that God belongs to a particular German. That doesn't mean that we should not walk with them. That doesn't mean that you should run away from them. But don't belong to their German. If you have them in your house, at your neighbor, you make them as neighbors. Only in the country. The country and the neighbor have rights. You also have no rights. But we have to put yourself under one German while life is business. And there is nobody, just as those who are put away from this German, they will read the book. The people, you must not read it. You read it. Maybe in the beach of the night, wake up an hour before and start reading this book. If you ask the word of the book, just to promote this particular German. And then come out and tell you that let the Muslims be united. Let us be united. If you want to tell something that they said, just go to them that I want to marry you and another general. Go to them that please I want to marry a sister from you. They will do something about that. They will try and do something about that, and that they will be what militating against that. It's not realistic. Why? They are just saying it. For those who are telling you that somebody who's actually even important comes to me, and then I can't give you this for me. Imagine what you have to have one for Akida. One for those Akida. That's what we found with you. But find your logic and let us remind you. Let us, this is knowledge. It's not something that we have to do. How do you have to count all that? Come on.
The last question I want to, okay. Let me read it to you. Yeah, somebody said, can we talk about not necessarily rebelling against the leaders, but to let people know that some things that they do or are doing are not in accordance with the Sharia, e.g. ruling with laws other than Sharia.
Well, in the Sharia also, because what you want to do in Sharia, you say you want to follow. Don't forget, we said it is not only the intention. What the action itself must be correct. So your intention is to correct the leader. How you are going to correct it must also be in line with the Sharia. Now how does the Sharia say we should correct the leader? Go and meet him behind and tell him. Go and meet him behind the corridor and tell him. In his corridor, in his house, in his room. Not to announce to him in public, you are in activation. If it's a really unrighteous leader, that is the last da'wah you will do. After that one, you will not do a da'wah again. The real unrighteous leader. After that one, and even if he kills you, the fact that he kills you does not mean that he has committed kufr. They say, قَوْلُ الْحَجْ إِنَّ الْإِمَانُ الْجَارِ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ الْجِهَادِ إِمَانُ الْجَارِ What is the hadith and where is it? All of directions don't have basis. So what has basis is if there's a leader who does not do what is right. Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Huraira, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Hassan al-Basri, all these evidence of violence were alive during the time of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. Tell me any one of them that came to the public to say that Hajjaj, you are an oppressor. Hajjaj killed, as reported, about 70,000 Muslims. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was an imam. On the member of the day of Juma, he is pointing to the head that is going to court. But does all these things make him a captive? He doesn't. So the companions, even when it's not bad, people came to him and said they want to rebel against Ajah. He said, don't go, don't try it. There is the book Kitab al-Mutawari, the book of those who ran away from Hajjaj and other leaders. When the leaders became hard, one of those who ran away was Hassan al-Basri himself. When Hajjaj, the news came to him that Hajjaj and Yusuf had died, he said, Allah has removed the evil away from us. He came back to Basra. He had run away to the bush because of the evil and the difficulty of Hajjaj. So if you want to make Amr ibn al-Ma'ruf but not hear Imam Karim, the leader, go and meet him behind and tell him. So that the very reason why you should not rebel against him will not still happen to you at the long run and in the end. So that is the way to admonish the leader. And if you admonish him, he refuses. What did the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, give him your right. His right over you, give it. Wasalullah haqqakum. And ask Allah for your own rights, even if he's not giving you your rights. These narrations. Even Riyadh al-Salih, you see all these narrations there. Let's just go back and read them and think about their implementation. May Allah make it easy for us. So even when the leader is not now mean against what Allah wills, the first thing is, does he rule it on what Allah does not rule? Does he rule against Allah's decree? That is he not ruling against the Sharia? Because he believes that the other Sharia that he's using, the other law that he's using is better than the Sharia of Islam. Is that the reason? If that is the reason, that kind of an action is an action of kufr. If that is not the reason, that we are just doing it. That cannot be referred to as kufr. That is what is referred to as kufr. Do not kufr. Mahmoud was saying that the Quran is makhluk. Many of the scholars say that to say that Quran is makhluk is kufr. And yet, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal did not order the people to come out against him in battle. He was still referring to him as Amir al-Mu'mineen. You see, he did not let people come out against him and fight. So all these things, they have their faith. And don't forget the hadith of Ubayd ibn al-Yaman. At every point in time during difficult situations, we will be asking our scholars what we should do. They will be guiding us. What we do not know, Allah has taught them. From the knowledge he has given to them. So they will be able to guide us with that, inshallah. Allah Allah. If the person cannot talk to the Amir directly, he can write to him. He can write to the Amir. I learned that the one who God bless the Nigerian leader, you must know that every letter that you write to him, he reads it. This is a cap success of the Muslim. If he doesn't read it, you have done your own, you will get the reward, you have done Amr ibn al-Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar. Did Allah say that Amr ibn al-Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar, the people you call must agree? No, alayhi salam. How many years did he say with his people? 950 years. Allah said at the end of the day, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعْهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Very few accepted, some say 11, some say the highest is 70 that accepted after 950 years. But there are even some prophets of Allah that they will start in the day of Qiyamah and nobody follows them. So you have done your work by just writing the letter, leader, so and so, with honor and respect, in a manner that you expect him to change, and praying for him. But what people do is even to cut them. Remember that you are the worst leader that Nigeria has ever seen. And you know you should be a madman. If you are not a madman, how can you steal the 2.1 million? How will he change? He will be looking for you. Allah will.
And for some of these people, that our judge So the leader, so if you have the ability or the opportunity to go to the leader and advise him, for something that. And if you advise him and he says from you, for something that he doesn't say from you, that's what I'm saying. the most positive. You all know this verse. This verse was said before the Umar family. That is one. Two, you say judging by or ruling by other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. I'm very sure that I know what is there. I'm very sure that I know what is there. I'm not going to do with other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. Prophet Allah says, don't take river. There are a lot of Muslims walking in river, complete, walking in river banks. Are they not judging by what Allah has revealed? Is that Allah has revealed? Is that Allah has revealed? Keep there. A lot of us don't do that. Is that what the Sunnah has asked us to do? Don't cheat. We are cheating. Don't steal. We are stealing. So all these follow order ruling by order that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. So if you cannot correct yourself, why is it that you want to start from this class? So when you correct yourself, what do you have to know to correct yourself? Then you correct yourself, you correct your family, you correct your family, you correct the community in which you are. So that you cannot correct the people, but you want to start from this place that your position comes. You want to start from this class. And that's why it was said that one of the kings or one of the rulers, one of them or one army was killed in Indonesia and was attacking him seriously. And later the king now said that if I kill you, I will not be blamed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must be scholar said why? He said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent somebody that is better than you to somebody that is worse than me. And Allah says, for who that doesn't cover like Zina, that Allah will be a vessel of action. And that is for the Musa as well as for them. Allah sent Musa to Fir'aun. I'm sure that Musa is better than me, and Fir'aun is worse than me. So Allah said that Musa will be limited to Fir'aun with Fir'aun in his speech. So when you use this strongly worded lecture or advice, and you want that person to take it from you, it is difficult. So don't let us be fighting mirage. What you know you can collect for it now. Start with yourself, start with your family, and leave the ruler. If you are okay with the ruler before you, you're not being okay, is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a judgment on you. Because then that after the land, somebody told you, that's why I think that you people, you know, you don't go about following you, they are not good people. He said it's because I was told who are following our partner the left. You know, I want to say he was okay. Yes, it was because people like me were followers of our partner. So now that he was peaceful, everything went well. But when people like you became a president follower, so the things come well. So we should understand this in order to find our Ta'ala access. Allah.
Whenever you think of Allah, that is how Allah will relate and deal with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram injustice to himself. He said, Allah has done now. Do not commit injustice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides people based on their majority. If you are sincere, even you are following the wrong path, with your sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you around. When you want to love for the sake of Allah. When you want to hate for the sake of Allah. When you love a brother, I'm not talking about
Lord will understand. See, the Lord will speak over the world and know that I want to marry you. I'm not talking about that love now.
You love somebody.
I like that this brother.
Somebody who says, not because
the sister is interested in marrying the brother, no, because of one quality or the other. Ask yourself, is that God staying on the love of my man?
Because many people here today do not want to have that brother as well. And the basis of the love I have is for the prophet, that's why they celebrate the party. They're going to marry the school.
It is like staying within the Sharia.
When you love somebody, let that love be based on the truth. Relate with your brother on the truth. He said, believers are mirrors for one another. And what does the mirror do to you? It gives you your true picture. If you have a mask there, the mirror will not be able to. He will show you the mark there. That's how believers should relate. We should be able to tell ourselves the truth, even if we do not like it. At the end of the day, by the time we realize the importance of the truth, we start praising and even praying to our brother blessing. So please, when you love for the sake of Allah, when you get faith for the sake of Allah, and that is even what will make your iman complete. In Allah has resolved. Please, tomorrow, let us come on time. And last year, our life will not come out. Last year, our time will not come out. Shall I lay my head over to me? I could put out a cross of prayer. Come out of this one from the Lord.
Thank you.